Women's Wellness Initiative, Cow Plunge,
Fourth Grade Challenge,
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.
Hey everybody, Josh Looney solo with you right here for Training Camp Live presented by Heartland Health. Yeah, I'm at Arrowhead Stadium and Training Camp Live isn't so live, but we're not going to cheat you out of show. We have a jammed-packed post-game type of flavor to bring you here on Monday as the Chiefs, of course, are back in St. Joseph working once again as they turn their attention toward the St. Louis Rams. So let's get things started on the offensive side of the football. What a credit to Brian Daboll in that game on Friday night. His first time as offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. It's their first time out, their first series out, and the Chiefs march right down the field methodically for a touchdown drive. Matt Cassel, 5 of 6 on the night, 67 yards, 152.8 quarterback rating. It's as comfortable as I've seen Matt Cassel in several seasons. Yeah, I said seasons because I'm going to go back to the 2000 year when I saw Cassel that comfortable. I don't even think we ever saw him that comfortable last season. A lot of good signs from the run game, but Brian Daboll, you can't say enough. We talked about him all training camp long. This is a guy who has such a unique energy about him. He's almost like a kid at heart at times. He's out there high-fiving wide receivers. He's out there playing defensive back and quarterback drills, and of course he's getting in the faces of players when they need a little extra encouragement. But Brian Daboll's unique coaching style has really rubbed this players the right way. It's even motivated the coaching staff members as well. So what a credit to Brian Daboll to come out and have this offense start the way they did. We caught up with Matt Cassel after the game Friday night and talked about that comfort and what a credit it is to Brian Daboll for how the Chiefs started.
In the bigger picture, what does this mean? I mean, is it meaningful in any way, you think?
It's definitely meaningful. I think, Coach Cornell has been preaching all camp long to get off to a good start, and I think that's exactly what we came out and accomplished tonight. I think offensively, defensively, special teams got off to a great start, and I think that gives us momentum going forward. But again, we know that it's only the first preseason game. We've got a ways to go. We've got a lot of work to do. There will be a lot of corrections made tomorrow. But at the same time, I was proud of how everybody came out and got off to a good start today.
Yeah, looking back at last year, obviously the first few games in the preseason were kind of a mess. I mean, can you draw the line there from that to the start of the regular season that you guys just weren't ready?
Look, you know what? I don't even want to talk about last year. Last year's last year, and you know, whatever we did last year, it's a whole new era to this year. And I'm just, like I said, I'm proud of how we came out tonight. We performed at home, got off to a good start. It feels good to win in front of our home crowd in preseason, even if it is a preseason game. But moving forward, we know that we've got a lot of work to do. But again, it was a heck of a start tonight for us.
Man, how did it feel to have Jamal back on the field with you?
It's always good when you see 25 back there. I mean, he adds an element of explosiveness, and he's a guy that every time he touches the ball has a chance to go all the way. So to have him back out there and running around and looking like old Jamal, it was great.
Matt, what did you learn about your offensive coordinator tonight? I mean, it was a brief couple of series, right, but a very successful couple of series.
Right. I think, Coach Daboll does a great job of impressing upon the guy. The guys about technique, about fundamentals, but also just doing your job, you know, and he talks about it all the time. It's about being a professional. And so I think the way that he does that, everybody buys in, and then coming out here tonight and the way that he called the game, I thought it was great.
Mac, can you talk about how comfortable you were? A lot of different formations. There was a lot of stuff going on tonight in
right.
the series.
Right, there were a lot of different formations going on. I think I'm very comfortable. You know, we've had a good camp so far. We've been working hard. I think both the offensive line, the receivers, the running backs have really embraced the challenge of learning this offense, and it showed tonight.
How much of that is a credit to Daboll? It seems that the offensive guys really taken to his coaching style, and it wasn't just you. Peyton said he felt comfortable. Jamal said he felt comfortable.
Right.
The offense as a whole felt comfortable in the first game under new coordinator.
Right. There's no doubt. You know, Coach Daboll does a great job, and he's diligent and very meticulous about details, and he does a great job of spending as much time as possible with us, and whether it – sorry, are you need some time here? Sorry, he does a great job spending as much as time as possible in camp with everybody and making sure that we hit all the details.
Of course, one of the biggest storylines throughout the preseason offseason, this game that happened on Friday night, was the health of the ACL trio. Jamal Charles, Eric Berry, Tony Moaki, as expected, all come out and they all play. Now, Jamal Charles's day, nothing to take your attention, catch your attention. Three carries, just 12 yards. Throw that out the window, though. That wasn't what it was about for Jamal Charles on Friday night. It was about getting back on the field. Jamal Charles is going to be Jamal Charles. We've seen the sprinter speed at camp. We've seen the cuts happen right here in St. Joseph at training camp. But what Jamal had to do was get past that initial hurdle, take that initial hit, get the ball in his hands for the first time in almost a full year. And once he's done all that, then you can move forward with the rest of your progression, because it doesn't matter. No matter how much he talks about returning to the field, you don't actually return to the field until you return to the field. And that's what he did on Friday night. I caught up with Jamal after the game. Not only did he feel healthy, but he also felt that he's ready to get going and doing what Jamal do. Let's check it out.
Tell us about after you took that first hit. Was there anything like, yeah, I'm back, or was it just old hat?
I'm just glad to be back on the field. I'm just saying, I got there with my teammates. I'm happy just to enjoy winning this game with them too. And the young guys excited, and just getting everybody around the whole team excited.
You tweeted earlier today you were just so excited that it was game day. How did it feel when you finally got the ball in your hands in the game situation?
Oh, man, it felt real good. I was feeling emotion, you know what I'm saying? It's been a hard year last year for me. I just wanted to, you know what I'm saying, I was about to get teared up, because, you know what I'm saying, it was a hard time for me last year. And coming to the stadium and feeling joy and passion, and you love this game so much, and I feel like God gave me another chance. I'm just happy to step on the field once again.
For you, is it kind of a mental hurdle? Like, okay, I got through my first game back. Now I can focus on the bigger things. Like, everybody knows I'm back now, and that's past me. Now we can get back down to business.
Yeah, everybody know I'm back now. Now, just, you know what I'm saying, just do me now. Keep working hard, continue to take care of my body, and keep getting the right treatment, and then I'll be fine for the rest of the year.
What do you want to improve on for next week?
Just be a step up and be a leader. Keep being my leader on the team and helping the young guys out and that trying to make the team. And I'm saying, I was there at that time, and I'm just trying to step up and be a leader now.
Well, a little thunder and lightning led the Chiefs in the NFL in rushing in 2010, as the Chiefs averaged over 160-some yards per game that year. Of course, it was Thomas Jones then pairing up with Charles. Well, Charles has a new thunder in town in Peyton Hillis, and he looked like the Peyton Hillis of old, the Peyton Hillis that was on the Madden cover after the 2010 season, the Peyton Hillis that had the career year working under Brian Daboll in Cleveland. Hillis, four carries, 41 yards. Catches a pass for a touchdown on that first drive. He did a little bit of it all, and that's what we come to expect from Peyton Hillis. He's going to be the big bruising runner, but he also has great hands. Over 60 catches working with Daboll in 2010 for the Browns. Caught up with Hillis after Friday night's game. He feels good. He feels comfortable. He's happy with his role in this offense. A great compliment to Jamal Charles out there on the field.
Tell us about the touchdown play.
You know, it was a good play call by Coach Daboll. You know, we're down there on the 3 or 4 and on the 11, I'm sorry. And, you know, it looked like zero coverage. You know, my guy came blitzed, and it seemed like the defensive end didn't peel on me, and I was wide open. It was good that Matt got the ball off and he read it well.
Could you believe it? I mean, when you saw your guy head for the blitz, it's like all of a sudden you're by yourself.
Well, I knew as soon as he blitzed, I knew it was going to be wide open. And, you know, I was hoping Matt would throw me the ball. It was an easy touchdown, really not taking credit for it. You know, and give it to Matt just because he had a good read on it.
You did a little bit of it all. You ran it well. You caught pass as well. Is that kind of a snapshot of what you hope to do this year?
Like I said, you know, I believe that I got to approach everything in a humble way, and hopefully everything will work out for me. We have a lot of talent on this team, especially at the running back position. So whenever I can get in there, I hope to do my best. I hope to contribute to the team.
For a new guy, new offensive coordinator, it seemed everything ran really crisp. A lot of energy in and out. How was it working with Brian Daboll just as an offense as a whole?
Well, you know, Coach Daboll is definitely a player's coach. You know, come in, he knows what he's doing, knows how to create mismatches. And, you know, with the type of guys we have around here, everybody's willing to learn, and everybody enjoys being around each other. And the most important thing, we have a lot of talent. And, you know, that's something that we're hopefully to rebound on and, you know, keep on building on in the upcoming weeks. And hopefully that we can start the regular season, we can come out on top.
The offensive line tonight, how do you think they performed?
Terrific. You know, it wouldn't matter without those guys up front. And they know that, and I make sure to tell them that all the time. And hopefully, you know, like I said, you know, we can run the ball and we can pass the ball. So, you know, it's a lot of ways we can spread the ball around this offense, and I'm just happy that we're just not a, you know, just a isolated team. We can either run or pass. We can do both. So I'm really excited about that.
And how was the communication on the offense? Normally that can struggle this early into the preseason.
You know, it was good, I think, for the first time out. You know, I think we really connected well. You know, we got the play calls back to the sideline, to the huddle, you know, got the right personnel in there. You know, it was good. We had a good communication. That's a lot, big part on Matt, and he did really well with that.
Of course, on Friday night, the workhorses in the game, it wasn't Hillis and it wasn't Charles. It was two of their reserves, sixth-round rookie out of Texas A&M, Cyrus Gray, and a guy who came to the Chiefs practice squad last year from the Washington Redskins and then got elevated for the final regular season game, Sean Drone. Both of these guys showed their flashes in camp, and they did it on the field as well. Cyrus Gray was the team's leading rusher on the night and also added a touchdown touchdown run late in the second half. And Sean Drone is a guy who's really turned some heads at camp, and he got an opportunity to show what he can do on the field. Of course, both of those guys were also covering kicks. They were on kickoff return. Both of these players, Gray and Drone, to make this roster, they're going to have to be special teams players as well. We know if healthy, it's going to be Charles, it's going to be Hillis, and maybe even Dexter McCluster. Who knows how he's going to factor into that running back mix. So for Gray and Drone, and yes, I do think both of these players can make the roster. I don't think it's between the two or one or the other. I think Gray, obviously being a draft pick, maybe you give him an upper hand, but with the camp that Sean Drone's had, you can't discount him either. So I do think there's enough room on this roster for Hillis, for Charles, for McCluster, if he shuffles back and forth, whatever they do at fullback, for Gray and for Sean Drone. They're just going to have to show not only what they can do offensively, but can do it on special teams as well. I talked to Jamal about what he's seen from his two young running backs and what he's been telling them as they try and make this football team.
Yeah, tell me about Sean and Cyrus. As a whole, the running backs were great, especially those two young guys. How did you take their performance?
I just told them, you know what I'm saying, you, every time your name called, you got to take away the you got to step up. You know what I'm saying, you're not just playing for yourself, you're not just playing for your family, or you're just not playing for the Chief. You're playing around the people around the NFL, other teams too. So every time you got to go in the game, and you got to be a leader too. You know what I'm saying, everybody that's out, that's not in there, the veterans players, you got to step up and be a leader.
Staying on the offensive side of the football, let's go to an unlikely receiving leader. Three catches, 69 yards. It was Steve Maneri, the converted offensive tackle, the guy who lost 45 pounds this offseason, not by dieting, just by simply eating like a normal human being. I talked to Steve at the Missouri Western Cafeteria of all places, and it was packed high with food. I was like, Steve, man, I thought you were dropping weight, 45 pounds. How in the world are you going to drop 45 pounds with stir fry stacked up here? He's like, man, it was hard for me to keep on the weight. I just don't have to eat like an idiot. And then all of a sudden, I lose weight and I lose 45 pounds. Steve Maneri at times last season, just to keep himself over 300 pounds in the offensive line, was going to Applebee's, eating the two for $20 by himself multiple times per week. He was doing all that just to keep the weight up. A lot of food for a big man. So, all the ladies that watch this show, be jealous, because this is a guy who he still eats a lot of food. He just drops 45 pounds by not eating like an idiot, by eating like a normal human being. Anyway, he had one career reception going into this ball game. It came last year as a tackle-eligible player against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all remember Troy Polamalu came up. He hit Steve Maneri's leg. It was a big thigh back then. It's not quite as big anymore. In fact, at camp, Maneri told me it's great not to have man boobs for the first time in 2 years. This is a guy who did play tight end before he entered the NFL. He was a tight end for Temple, but he entered the league 2 years ago, and they wanted him to become an offensive tackle. Obviously, that reversed this offseason when the Chiefs said, we need a blocking tight end. It's an interesting competition behind Boss and behind Moyaki for that third tight end spot. Maneri is very much part of it. I caught up with him after the game on Friday. He was very happy with his receptions. But you know what? He knows that he's going to be a blocking tight end first if he's going to make this roster.
Just the first game back, you know, it's always exciting. A lot of nerves to start, but once you get going, it feels great.
I talked to you earlier this week, and you said you've always had the hands. You never lost the hands. But when you're actually able to do it in a game situation and not at practice, does that just reassure you, like, okay, I really do have the hands still?
I hope you didn't doubt me. I told you I had hands and I had hands. I mean, quarterbacks did a great job finding me. I happened to be open a few plays, and I just caught the ball, and I had the chance to.
What do you take away just from as an offense as a whole? It was efficient in the passing game. It's efficient in the run game. What do you take away?
I think we started out strong. I mean, first two drives were two touchdowns, and the one sat down, and the two struggled a little bit. But we got some things to correct, definitely, but I think we did some good things out there.
45 pounds, did you feel the weight off you once you got out there running around?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It feels a lot better to run when you're 270 as opposed to the over 300. So.
What's been this conversion from tackle? I mean, you played tight end in college, right? And then they tried to make you just tell me your story.
I played tight end in college, and I didn't get drafted, so I thought the best opportunity would be to be switched to tackle. And that went for about 2 years, and we had a need for a blocking tight end here, and I switched for the team. So hasn't been that new to me, considering I played it for my whole life, basically. So it wasn't a big deal.
Not as many questions about your blocking, but maybe about the receiving. So you got to feel like having performances like this only going to help your chances to make this team, right?
Let it be clear, though, I'm here to block. I mean, I'm a blocking tight end, and that's what I need to do. And there's a couple plays I wish I could take back there that I need to do better on, and that's definitely my focus.
But talk about you. I mean, you were just wide open three times. I mean, how'd you work your way?
I guess they don't cover offensive tackles. I don't know.
Yeah. So just talk about your tight end, and you go to this tackle, and then you come back to tight end. I mean, just talk about the transition going back.
The biggest transition was the weight. I mean, putting the weight on from when I decided I was going to be an offensive tackle, I was about 270 pounds, 265 pounds, and to put on 30 pounds, it wasn't easy. I mean, Josh and I talked about it a few times. But to take the weight off, it was really easy because I'm naturally a thinner person, and it came right off.
Yeah, and then catching the ball itself, I mean, is that like riding a bike? I mean,
yeah, exactly. I've always had hands, let's say it again. But getting open is the hard thing, but there was a couple open spots in the zone today, and I got open, and the quarterbacks found me.
Tell us about the play that you caught down the rail. I mean, that was probably the most impressive one that showed the athleticism and the hands of a tight end. Take us through that play.
That's a double move, and the linebacker bit and wrapped around, and Brady trusted me. He put the ball in a tight spot, and I came down with it.
Linebacker bit on your move?
He bit on my move, yes.
So you can go back and say, I was a tackle last year, and you just bit on my move.
Not one to trash talk much.
All right, out here, our producer, Adam Pellegrino. See, we taped this live to tape. Even though we're here, we still just do it in one take. And Adam tells me, yep, it just happened. B-Rad's been off to the side, so we haven't had pro wrestling references during Chiefs Live, but Man Boobs made its first appearance ever in the 4 years we've been on here in reference to Steve Mineri and his former Man Boobs, Steve Mineri. Hey, he said it. I didn't. Dontari Poe, speaking of Man Boobs, this guy doesn't have it. You would think a 350-pounder would have a little extra weight. The guy's a physical freak. We've seen him. He's fast. There's no comparison to a 350-pounder quite like Dontari Poe. He got out on the field for the first time with the Chiefs on Friday night. As we expected, Anthony Taribio was the starter at nose tackle. Dontari worked with the second team there, but he worked with the first team and wreaked a little havoc in there with Alan Bailey in the sub-package sets. Right now, it's going to be Dontari in passing situations and on third down. Can he continue to elevate his game and become that zero technique player? Well, that remains to be seen. He'll eventually be a third down player if he can do that. Right now, it's happening on third down for Poe, but he got on his belt, notched up a little bit, his first NFL action. We went to Dontari after the game to get his reflections on strapping up the Chiefs helmet for the first time right here at Arrowhead Stadium.
What was the biggest, oh my moment for you out there?
Really my first play. To finally just realize, what I'm doing and, that I'm in the NFL. It was a good accomplishment for me.
Was it hard to adjust to that? I mean, you said it was an adjustment seeing the speed. What was it like after that first play, realizing what you were up against?
It was pretty fun. It wasn't nothing that we didn't practice yet. But like I said, the game speed is different from practice speed. But to say it was overwhelming, I'd be lying. So, it was fun. It wasn't easy. Got a long way to go. But it was fun to finally get out there and get the first taste of it.
What's the biggest thing to take away from this then as far as what you feel like you'll need to work on the most?
Just the same thing that I've been doing, my technique, and just doing everything these coaches tell me.
Saw Anthony Taribio went in. He had a couple of really good plays. I mean, you guys able to talk about what both of you saw, once you got out of the game? I mean, were you guys discussing, maybe what you felt like you needed to work on, what he saw? I mean, is it a lot of good communication there?
Yeah, I talked to him when he came off, and, when I came off the field, he talked to me the same way. We're just trying to learn from each other. I'm just trying to gain everything I can from him at every point.
Well, Chiefs fans, signing off from Arrowhead Stadium. It's almost midnight on a Friday. Thanks for joining us on a Monday afternoon. We will be live in studio, live. Chiefs live, not pre-taped. Chiefs live. Thanks for staying late. Adam Pellegrino, great producer. Kevin Brebner, great producer for us. Everybody's working overtime at 65 TPT. Is now broadcasting our preseason games. If you missed the first one, Paul Burmeister, Trent Green in the booth did a great job. I was down on the sidelines with Michael Coleman. Thought it was a great first broadcast. We'll get even better as time goes on, and we want you to join our broadcast as well. Again, there's only a few days left to submit your entry to Rock the Mic. Take my job at historic Lambeau Field. I'll hand the mic over to someone. One lucky winner. We're going to pick five finalists. You submit us your one-minute demo reel talking Chiefs football. If you're one of the best five, and we've had a couple hundred applicants already, we'll tell you the pickings are definitely – it's going to be hard to pick just five. Once we go to five, it goes to a fan vote, and the fans decide who becomes our sideline reporter for the second half of that Green Bay game. I'm going to hand my mic over to you, and you will join – the broadcast team with Trent Green and Paul Burmeister. Amazing opportunity. You get to come and hang out with us in Green Bay. I'll hang out with you tonight before all of our producers. You'll get to meet Adam. You'll get to meet Kevin Brebner. You'll get to meet the whole crew. We'll be out, and you'll be throughout the entire production meeting. Everything. I mean, you're part of this team. What an opportunity. Get your reels in. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Just talk Chiefs football. Time is running out. Hopefully you're part of that final five. We'll see you tomorrow. 2 o'clock to 2:30. At Spratt Stadium. No, actually, won't be at Spratt Stadium. We'll be close to Spratt Stadium at Missouri Western State University. We'll see you tomorrow on Chiefs Live, brought to you by Heartland Health.
Women's Wellness Initiative. Cow Plunge.
Fourth Grade Challenge.
Diabetes Expo.
As a key sponsor of Mustangs Baseball and Chiefs Training Camp, Heartland is a number one fan for a healthy St. Joseph.